This is The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design.
Hello, everyone. Our guest today is Scott Campbell, coordinator of the business marketing program at Seneca. Scott's got a great background, lots of industry experience, and some really interesting hobbies. So, Scott, let me start off by just asking you what brought you to Seneca. It's been a bit of a winding road for you all the way from Kalamazoo, Michigan.
Yeah, first of all, thank you for having me. So how I got into Seneca, so I'm originally from the U.S., from Kalamazoo, as you mentioned. I was always that kid, and I tell all of my students in the class that I was the kid doing lemonade stands, selling things door to door. I won a contest in high school for selling the most magazine subscriptions. So kind of was always interested in sales and marketing, and got an undergrad in marketing, did sales for a few years in consumer packaged goods, went and got my MBA down in North Carolina, moved to Philadelphia and worked for a couple big companies, Johnson & Johnson, Crayola. And then one day, and I always tell the story as well, one day I got a call from a recruiter and said, how about, you know, a job with Spin Master Toys up in Toronto? And usually when I get those kind of calls, it's for some market that I don't want to live in, like Topeka, Kansas, not to pick on Topeka. But I said, Toronto. I actually had some relatives, so I flew up there, and kind of the rest is history. Worked in industry for about 5 years. And I always had in the back of my mind that I was going to be an educator, a teacher, a professor. I thought it was going to be when I retired. So I thought it would be something, you know, I'd be in my 60s or so and sharing any wisdom that I've learned over the years. But I ended up getting a job teaching part-time and then came to Seneca, taught some part-time courses, and kind of like the rest is history. And so I always say I'm in retirement now because I'm doing my retirement job, and it's awesome. So that's sort of the short answer to how I ended up here in Canada and teaching at Seneca.
Well, that's great. And, you know, we're glad you made the jump across the border. I want to jump back a little later to some of the interesting work you did for Spin Master and Crayola and Maple Leaf Foods as well. But before we get to that, you have mentioned that a couple of your role models obviously were your parents, but that they brought different things to the table in mm-hmm. terms of that have helped you as both as a professor, but also in your industry. Can you expand on that a little bit?
For sure. I realized this not until really got into marketing. I started out in sales and then made the move into marketing. And marketing is really, and this is why I love it, it's like a nice sweet spot combination of you've got to obviously have the creativity, empathy, understanding the customer, really, you know, putting yourself in somebody else's shoes, but you can't just have that. I think you need to really have some logic and rational thinking and, you know, using data and facts and sort of the right brain, left brain. And so my mom was a nurse and, you know, very empathetic and kind of all about care of her patients. And my father was an industrial engineer, worked at a paper mill his entire life and was always designing and constructing and engineering things. And he just approached everything very rational. And sometimes I wonder, like, how did they end up together? Because they're just so different. But I took qualities from both of them. And I think it's really helped me because I can kind of see both of those. And you need that, not only obviously working in a lot of jobs, but particularly marketing, I think. And also, of course, you know, just being an educator, I think both of those qualities, I think, really, really help. And they can be very different, too.
Yeah, that combination is hard to find in one person oftentimes, but I can see that being really beneficial, both in your professional life, but also as a prof. So, Scott, when I was growing up, one of my favorite things to do with my family was go to Dairy Queen. And I understand that you have a connection to one of my favorite Dairy Queen desserts. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, sure. And that was one of my favorite things as well. And you just brought me back to my past because it was a Dairy Queen probably about 4 or 5 kilometers from our house. We'd drive there, and this is going back into like the 70s. So I worked at Spin Master Toys, and that the company has gone through a lot of changes, and it was always about developing new products, new toys. And so we created this thing called the Dairy Queen Blizzard Maker. It was, I think, some anniversary, it might have been the 25th anniversary of the Blizzard. And so Dairy Queen was making a big deal of this. We had thought about this already, making an ice cream machine basically targeted for kids, you know, 5 to 10, to make their own blizzards and ice cream. Who doesn't like to make their own ice cream? I've had many adults tell me they wanted one of those. And so we got the license to use the Dairy Queen and the Dairy Queen Blizzard name and the logo. I flew out to to Minneapolis in the middle of winter and was eating and gorging myself on ice cream to basically talk to them about our partnership relationship, what's important to them, because we had to think about those things, not only designing the product, but of course the packaging was key, and also how we advertised and promoted it, because we're using somebody else's, you know, name and identity, and we have to make sure they're on the same page. So it was a huge hit. It was, you know, it's a very simple product, but obviously we had a lot of obstacles getting the product to where it was, making sure it was at the right price point, etc. And yeah, it was a huge hit, and you know, Dairy Queen was happy. It was kind of one of many things that they had going on for their anniversary, but yeah, I loved it. And I was talking about this in the earlier interview that one of my sharpest memories from that product specifically was, it was maybe a week or a couple weeks after Christmas, and I found this video on YouTube of the kid opening up the present on Christmas Day, and the parents recorded him. This kid went ecstatic. Oh my gosh, thank you, this is the best gift ever, I love it. And so I sent that video to my greater team, the dozen or so people that launched this, and said, this is why we do this. See, like, look at the joy of this kid. This is awesome. So he got the gift he wanted.
Oh, that's awesome. So speaking of childhood things, a lot of us have in common, Crayola. Everybody remembers Crayola. I understand that was another career highlight for you.
For sure, yeah. I have to say it was probably the you know, after Seneca, it was probably the best place I ever worked. The culture was amazing. It's exactly what you think. It's a lot about, you know, creativity and children and, you know, childhoods. And I came on that brand as well when they were kind of at a pivot point where they realized that it's not just crayons and markers, but the brand actually means a lot more than that. And so I got to launch probably 30 new products under a sub-brand we created called Color Explosion. It was a marker on some black paper and all these colors popped up, and we extended that name to a whole bunch of other products in the line. And yeah, it was just fun because it was a lot of new product development and testing it and, you know, working with kids. And of course, parents too are an important target for us. And, you know, did everything that a brand manager would do with, you know, pricing it and working with the sales team, promoting it, you know, managing the finances of the brand to make sure. And it was hugely successful, and working there was, again, a lot of fun just because the people that work there, and it was unleashing my own creativity, which is something that, you know, creativity is important to me, and having that ability to innovate and being creative.
Mm. So speaking of that, those are two of the qualities you really emphasize to our students that compete in the Ontario College Marketing Competition, which you've been a big part of and had a lot of success with. Can you expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, so I started working at Seneca 2014, was full-time in 2015, and sort of took over the reins of being like the general manager head coach. The Ontario College's Marketing Competition, otherwise known as OCMC, is a annual tradition competition between the colleges in Ontario since 1980, and we've got a team 20 plus students that we take every year to whatever host colleges are hosting it. And it's an amazing experience for the students. We also have 15 plus faculty members as acting as coaches. And this is the time for students to really showcase what they've learned and their ability to present, their ability to be creative, sometimes in a very time-compressed manner, because they only have many times 30 minutes in many of the cases to actually figure out the problem and put together a PowerPoint, and then they go and present it. So it's amazing because it's outside of the classroom, and it's, you know, I always tell students, you know, the best marketing experience is always doing marketing. And we try to obviously do that here at Seneca. And second best is really doing these sort of competitions where you're in front of industry judges. You've got to show what you're made, and you're obviously, it's a game. You're competing against other students and other teams too. So that's been a highlight of mine, and it's been super exciting. And I have not gotten bored of it yet, and I've been doing it since 2015. And we, you know, we've done well at Seneca as well. And of course, as you know, we were the host in 2022 and got to kind of see a different angle in terms of being the project manager of this event. So it's been a lot of fun.
And that was a ton of work. I saw, you know, some of the work from a distance that you and your team did. It was a really innovative competition because you changed, I think it was the first hybrid competition in the history of OCMC. And Seneca just happened to also win because of the performance and coaching of our students.
Yeah, absolutely. And I won't take complete credit for the win. That was somebody else. That was kind of I passed over the head coach of that job. But yeah, I mean, we were innovative quiz bowl. We changed quiz bowl a lot, which is the kind of marketing trivia night. We changed that, and the theme was game changers. So we were trying to be game changers in many, many different ways. So yeah, it was fun. I can just tell you that for 2023, we got a great team, but I'm super happy. I'm not hosting, and we are not hosting because yes, that was a lot. It was a lot of work. It was fun work though.
Yeah, and it went. I mean, it really couldn't have gone better when you think about it. So I want to talk a little bit about the state of the industry and what's happening in marketing. And artificial intelligence is really transforming, you know, everything in multiple industries, everything that you can think of. What is the effect of artificial intelligence in marketing, and how are you and the other profs in your program preparing our students for that world?
You're absolutely right. It's sort of one of those technologies that is going to disrupt everything. And many times technologies come through. You say that, but it doesn't always happen. I feel pretty strongly about this one. It's. I just saw something literally yesterday on a blog. It was a poll: which industry is artificial intelligence, generative artificial intelligence, going to change the most? And out of five or six industries, education was number one, beyond healthcare, etc. So, aside from the kind of the day-to-day sort of use that people can use things like ChatGPT or other tools, of course, you know, managing emails, just kind of brainstorming, it's going to change everything from developing marketing plans, copywriting, coming up with maybe innovative new product ideas. There is just a whole host of ways that this could be used. Social media and managing your social media, it can really act like a assistant that is paid nothing, and which obviously has ramifications. So, and the way we're approaching this, I think in teaching, there's been a couple, you know, innovative profs that have sort of taken it to the next level that are introducing. There's a course that the website is built, for example, and all the content that goes in that. And so this is happening this semester, where basically students are kind of shown how can you use this to prompt ChatGPT to basically help you with kind of designing the content. Now, the human still needs to be there to say, this is not accurate, or I'd rather say it this way, or let me, but it's a good first draft. And already we know that, you know, marketers are kind of using it for those purposes, because marketing is a field in which you do create, whether it's products or campaigns or communication, social media posts, etc. We're creating all the time. And so this kind of acts as like the first draft. We do have to obviously be responsible and to make sure that it's, you know, used like appropriately, not used in a lazy way. So I think that's going to be the true test of how we use it. But yeah, it's groundbreaking, and we're still constantly learning too, because obviously this is new and there's a lot to learn.
Yeah, I really like that approach, you know, reflecting what's happening in industry, but also making sure students are aware of the ethical implications and the best uses, best practices for this tech. So we are here with Scott Campbell, who is the program coordinator of business marketing and is also, I understand, a massive world traveler, 40 plus countries. And I just want to make the connection between the AI and soft skills. And I would imagine that your travels and being exposed to other cultures has given you some insight into the importance of those types of skills in the workforce as well as in the classroom.
Absolutely. That was I didn't start actually traveling. I'd traveled maybe to half a dozen countries, but I was 30 and quit my well-paying sales job, knowing I was going to go to business school in a year, but actually ended up saying, no, I'm going to take some time and travel. So I went to Europe and part of Africa, and then I came back a little bit, and then I went into Asia. But Yeah, you certainly understand the meaning of body language and how to communicate when you don't actually know the words to communicate. And that was before nobody had a smartphone, nobody had, you know, pocket translator. You just had to point and grunt and make movements and really understand people and be very empathetic and obviously understand kind of the culture you're dealing with. I you may not know this, but I actually lived in Venezuela for 3 months, 3.5 months, did an exchange when I did my MBA. And all the classes were in Spanish. This was graduate level. And so I'm taking these classes. Talk about a humbling experience where you're learning and it's in Spanish. You almost become a different person because if you're really, really social and can communicate, all of a sudden I couldn't. Because I could speak Spanish and I wouldn't say fluent. I was pretty good. But you become quieter. You have to kind of understand what's going on more. And I always tell this to my students. I know what it's like in a small way to kind of be in another environment, not my mother tongue, and trying to learn. And so I have a lot of empathy that way for our students. I think that's where it's carried over. And traveling to those many places, you really learn to adapt really quickly. You really learn to understand, again, think from the other perspective, I think, which helped me in my job and obviously helps me in my teaching job every day.
That's a lot of countries. So any particular experiences or places that really stick out as you remember all those travels?
Wow, that's a really, really tough question because every country was so different. I do have a love affair with Italy, of course, and I've been there probably 6 times, and my wife is from Italy. But, you know, again, loved Egypt just because of obviously the architecture, but also, again, the setting because it was just so different. I remember traveling in Malaysia and meeting a guy. I was going from Thailand to Malaysia. Met this guy in the bus. It was a small bus of like 8 people. Got talking to him the whole way. Next thing I know, he's inviting me to his village. I completely changed my plans. Went to his village for like 3 days. Basically hung out with this Malaysian guy and all of his friends and, you know, did karaoke with them. So like, it wasn't so much always the countries. It was just like the people that you're meeting along the way and like those in those stories. And just, you know, again, how different we are really on a surface level, but really honestly, we're all kind of all the same because we all like to hang out and have fun and have families and eat food and laugh and all those basic things.
Karaoke in Malaysia. So that's pretty great. One of the things you wanted to talk about today, Scott, was why a marketing education matters from a student perspective. Can you unpack that a little bit?
For sure. I think, and students even tell me this, that, you know, in today's environment, I mean, marketing is obviously about, you know, I always say it's connecting buyers and sellers. And we're all buying stuff and we're all selling stuff, even if it's ideas or obviously products and services. It's just, especially not even just in a business setting, marketing is like the cornerstone of business, in my opinion, because it is, again, all about customers. I think, though, that in any endeavor, and this may actually be a little obvious, but really in any endeavor, you've got to sell / market it, whatever it is, because you're trying to, you know, and it's not just about persuasion. People think selling is just about, I got to persuade somebody, convince somebody to buy that. Well, it's deeper than that. It's actually really more about understanding their needs, having them come out with a win, having you come out with a win, connecting those dots, being able to ensure that, you know, they're getting just as much out of this as you are and that everybody has extra value. And I think those skills, again, really understanding your customer, your audience. You know, I think of marketing and sales even with my kids. I'm like, okay, I got to think of their perspective. Okay, they're the customer. I want them to do this. How do I get them to do this? And so once you start kind of thinking that way, and of course I do this with my students too, but I think in any endeavor, you know, knowing kind of your foundation marketing skills is really, really important and critical, and will actually make you more successful.
Yeah, I agree. And I see a bit of an overlap with my industry that I came from, which was journalism, which is also about putting yourself in the mind of the reader and what is going to be of interest to them. What do they know about this story already? What will the hook be to make them keep reading? That type of thing. So, and I do find that useful in my career in terms of communicating.
Yeah, it's all about if you're in any kind of service role of serving other people and you believe and think that your product or service or whatever you're doing has value, you got to be able to sort of, you got to connect those two worlds. But the only way you can do that is if you really understand them from that. And I mean, even if you think like, you know, world peace and kind of conflicts around the world, like those kinds of skills are helpful, because if you see it from their perspective, you're like, ah, okay, this is what they want. So let's see if I can kind of bridge that together.
Yeah, there's that empathy piece again. Well, Scott, this has been a pleasure. Is there anything else you want to add?
I think it's been a lot of fun. I mean, I really actually enjoy being a teacher. Like I said, this is kind of my retirement job, although I tell my friends this, I don't see myself retiring. Not that I'm close to that, but I can't even imagine that. I mean, I want to be doing this well past when I probably should be doing it, I guess. So I think, every day there's a lot of, joy and, meeting with the students and sort of, again, seeing their transformation. OCMC is a big part of that. But even in the courses, you're so close to the customer again, and that's something that I was missing, and maybe other in marketing jobs here. I'm seeing the customer really every day, and you can get those reactions. You can kind of tell if it's working or it's not working when you're in the classroom. So that just I think that's a big reason why I'm here. And it's Seneca has been an amazing place to work, and I appreciate all the support that Seneca gives. So happy to be here.
Awesome. Well, we hope you stay for a good long time. Scott Campbell, the coordinator of the business marketing program here at Seneca.
You have been listening to The Dean's Desk with Kurt Mueller, Dean of the Faculty of Communication, Art, and Design, produced by Seneca's radio broadcasting students.